And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. I'm Michael Lindebaum, being joined this time with Mr. Ben Taylor.
Yeah, Black Ranger himself.
I kind of miss saying Mr. Pink, though. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I really enjoyed saying that. But on today's episode, we are knocking out, or we're discussing, which other one you want to put it, Welcome to Venus Island and the Song of Guitardo.
Yeah. Two entries in the Green No More arc, right?
Yep.
So they are very heavily weighted towards one Mr. Thomas Oliver. I think this is actually the fourth and fifth episode in the arc. And then we go into Green No More.
We are,
I'm pretty sure.
So we are actually, yeah, so Venus Island is the third, Guitardo is the fourth, then you go directly into the Green No More. Technically, you could say fourth and fifth, if you include the Green Dream as the first one of the
Which
whole.
It is widely recognized as the first one.
Yeah. So we're going to start off with everyone's segment in my mind. And that's the quick run through.
Everyone's favorite segment in your mind.
Yeah.
Not just you said everyone's segment in my mind. Then I was like, what?
I have been up since 3:30 this morning.
That's true. Yeah, you've been at work.
So it's everyone's favorite segment in my mind. Welcome to Venus Island, the quick run through. And we're at the beach and we're building sandcastles because yay. And Richie's here, and Trini is just smitten by Richie. Bulk and Skull impersonate Putties with great failure. Zed in return sends Putties to attack because he didn't really take so kindly the Bulk and Skull's impersonation. Goldar and the Putties take Haley. Zed then leaves a message in the sand. But oops, Goldar lost that bottle. Rangers decipher the message to Goldar from Zed. Zordon then briefs the Rangers on Venus Island. Back at Billy's, Jason and Trini help Billy. They release the device, and then at the command center, they track it's like a weather balloon device that they send up to try to capture where this island is. They find the island and see Haley under a red force field. Zordon tells the Rangers that once the red fog takes over her body, she will be fully evil. The Rangers teleport to Venus Island, and then Zed creates the Venus flytrap monster. The monster captures Billy, Zach, Kim, and Jason. Trini and Tommy return to the command center. Tommy is willing to sacrifice, but Trini wants to go it alone. However, Tommy refuses, and right before he was going back, they find a weakness on the monster. Tommy and Trini return to take on the monster. While inside the monster, the other four are meditating. I don't really understand this. Not really explained. Let's just meditate inside of a monster. The other four were then able to escape because apparently they were able to hear Tommy and Trini when it came down to shooting their fire blasters inside the monster. Power blaster time for the victories. Zed starts sinking the island and the Rangers continue to search for Haley. Trini with some quick thinking and blasts the force field to save Haley. You guys called Tommy out by name in front of Haley while morphed. Haley leads Bulk and Skull on a wild goose chase, and the artist loves the medieval art to end the episode. And that is Welcome to Venus Island.
AKA Zed's plan makes no goram sense. So my first note. Now, they resolve this a little bit later, right? But they're usually overly specific about who the random kids are that are around the Power Rangers, right? So they're usually like, oh, this is Dave, my seventh cousin, twice removed, that's got four toes, right? We learn a little bit about Haley later, but it's just that she lives down the street from Trini, right? Like, Richie and Trini make eyes at each other.
And then you never hear of Richie ever again in the episode.
it's like, well, that's kind of commonplace, right, with Richie, because they were setting him up to be a white herring for the White Ranger. But, like, at least have him do something, right? Every show that Richie is in, you could replace him with a chair and it would be no different. A piece of inanimate furniture. Bog's go happen. They're in kind of a really weird place for me at this point in Power Rangers, right? Because I'm really digging the fact that they're trying to find out who the Rangers are and they're trying to do good and that kind of thing, right? But the slapstick just annoys the hell out of me. It really does. And in the next episode, you'll see the best note I think I've made regarding Bulk and Skull forever. Then we hear Haley yelling, "Let go of me." Holy beans, can that kid not act? I like the fact that when they open the bottle that Goldar dropped, it makes a little Lord Zedd face in the air. I thought that was a very nice little touch.
It definitely brings a uniqueness to the Lord Zedd character a little bit, going like, this is a message from him.
Yeah.
And like, you didn't really see that when it came to Rita.
No. Trini then looks at the thing on the floor that is burnt into the sand, that is clearly writing, and says, "What's this?" And Tommy says, "It must be some kind of message." And literally everybody watching goes, "Duh." Right? And then back on the moon, Zedd and Goldar are, we'll say, conversing. They're arguing. And where is the bottle, says Lord Zedd. "I lost it in the battle," says Goldar. "What battle? You openly just dropped it. You clearly just blatantly 100% dropped it on purpose."
I mean, how hard is it to, like, wrangle a kid?
Yeah,
right. And there was no battle.
That's what I'm saying. So this is where Zedd's play gets a bit bad. That dramatic pause was for effect. So, first, Zedd orders Goldar to take a bottle to the fight that contains the quote-unquote secret orders. This is a bottle that Goldar does not need in the fight. Right? Because he knows what to do anyway. Then Zedd gets angry at Goldar for taking the bottle that Lord Zedd told him to take that he didn't need. This bottle contained a message that did not need to be in a bottle, and Lord Zedd could have just told to Goldar. And since Goldar didn't look in the bottle and knew what to do, I'm assuming he did that anyway. And the bottle that Goldar dropped that led the Rangers to where they were going wouldn't have been there if Zedd hadn't told him to take it in the first place. Which, I remind you, Zedd got angry at him for letting go. Zedd is then like, "Oh, this was my plan all along, for it will lure the Rangers to Venus Island." "Then why are you angry that Goldar dropped it?"
Wouldn't it have just made a lot more sense? Send Goldar, steal the kid, and then Zedd, after they vanish with the kid, Zedd then sends the bottle down to them with the message.
Right. That's right.
would have made more sense there.
Then he plans to ransom the girl for Tommy. That is the only part of this plan that makes sense. The only part of this plan that makes sense. Right? I know we've had... I'm not sure if we've had this conversation yet, because, spoiler alert, these episodes are recorded out of order. But don't treat kids like they're stupid. Right? So then we have the note, an island that only appears when Zed calls it forth. So just send it away while the Rangers were on it, blah, blah, blah. That's the plan, obviously, right? Wouldn't the appearance of such an island cause massive world disruption to, like, sea levels, tides? Because it's a floating island. And you know what causes most of the tides on the Earth, right? The moon. So this is our first. That's not how science works. Then we have Trini saying, but Billy, how can you follow the wind? Ignoring for a fact the moment that at sunset, all of the trade winds blow to Venus Island would force major meteorological disruption on a planet-wide scale. Meteorologists have been able to tell us the direction of winds for decades. Billy invented a flying car. Why is he looking stumped by this? That's not how science works. Number two. Billy's lab is on screen. I'm just going to give that a that's not how science works. There's a really nice moment right before they're getting ready to release the weather balloon where Billy talks into his communicator and he's like, is the tracking device operational? And the only other person that's shown to understand Billy's technology, Trini, is with him. So Zach's like, I guess. It's a really nice little moment. Apparently Billy's clamp is too heavy. When you could just, I don't know, use all the strings dangling off the bottom of the balloon to tie it up, rather than adding more weight like they do with weather balloons. Also, if you didn't test that beforehand, Billy, what kind of scientist are you? So, we get our first mention this episode of Tommy's powers. As we mentioned, this is part of the Greenland War arc where Tommy Oliver finally loses his powers as the Green Ranger, only to get them back three episodes later as the White Ranger. Because he needs consequences. These two episodes perfectly encapsulate why I dislike Tommy, right? In this episode, this is clearly a Trini episode, right? But everything is about Tommy. And it's just indicative of the way that in these early seasons, Tommy's really the only character to get any form of character growth. He's the only one that any effort's actually put into, right? even in other people's episodes, right? Like, this is clearly a Trini-centric episode. The next one's clearly a Kim-centric episode. But everything's about Tommy, right? And it's one of the reasons that Tommy just doesn't resonate with me. And I know it may have seemed different when you were younger or whatever, but again, my perspective is as someone who's watched it for the first time very recently. So they track the weather balloon and we get the final coordinates. And Billy checks his map and goes, oh good, it's an island. Why is the map the island that only Zed can summon on a map that Billy has of the trade winds? Also, I looked it up. If you take those coordinates and put them into a map, Argentina.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, that's some travel right there.
So apparently Zed is trying to make Halley evil, right? With the red fog. Why?
More minions.
Right, but why this child?
Because it's the child of the week.
Right. But Zed's annoyed by Goldar and Scott and Babu. Imagine what a 7-year-old would do. I mean, we see that later in RPM, right? Like, SPD? SPD.
Yeah, SPD. Although honestly, like, we really haven't seen a lot of Squad and Babu, honestly.
No, we haven't. We haven't.
Yeah, not yet at least.
But the point being, why are you trying to turn her evil? You could just have her, like, dangling over a fire pit or getting slowly nibbled to death by ducks or something. And it would have the exact same thing of forcing the Power Rangers to come get her, right? Not laboring yourself with a child for all of eternity. I unironically love the name the Invenusable Flytrap. I don't know why. Can't stand the monster, can't stand the episode, love the name. I have a note that, man, Venus Island sure looks a little like Angel Grove Park. And then he says, as you can see, I am invulnerable. How do you say that? How do you see that someone is vulnerable? Point of note, if you did not know what you were looking for, the cut, like Tommy's shield, the slight changes in color, the little background shifts, the intercutting of the Zoo 2 footage and the American footage here was incredibly well done. So props to the editor. Oh, look, a park bench. Has there been someone that's ever gone through and counted the amount of times that the Rangers have been, like, swallowed by a monster or sealed away by a monster or kidnapped by a monster and put in something? Because it's got to number in the hundreds at this point, right? Like,
probably not in the hundreds, just being
20 seasons.
Oh, in 20 seasons? Probably. I don't know. I mean I need to, when I watch through everything again.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd have a better idea. Because I know there are definitely some seasons where you don't have, like, any Rangers getting eaten or anything like that.
Yeah.
So
they teleport back to the command center. and Tommy is apparently too weak to continue the fight, having shown absolutely no signs of this up to this point, and is not weak until they teleport back. What is this Zordon's doing? Another slice of Tommy that very much puts the wind up my bracket, shall we say. Tommy is super ready to just give up and give himself to Zed, right? And this is a recurring theme with Tommy. From day one, he's always ready to just be like, no, give them to me. Let me do it. I'll go. Rita can have me, blah, 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 whatever, right? They're just ready to give up. They don't even try. They don't even try and think of a way out, right? Their first step is, well, this is, Tommy's like, no, I'm giving up. Like every other time a ranger is in trouble, they spend some time, they discuss it, and they try to come up with a plan, right? Whenever it's Tommy, he's like, nah, I'm going to go sacrifice myself. He's got this martyr complex, right? And it's annoying because it's the only ranger they do it for. He's just ready to play the martyr at the drop of the hat.
Well, I mean, you had one when in space where Adam actually did it when he used the Black Ranger powers again.
No, absolutely not the same thing. He used the Black Ranger powers as a last resort because they were getting their butts handed to them.
Yeah.
Right? Here, Trini goes, I will fight them alone. And Tommy goes, no, it's too dangerous. I'm going to throw myself on my sword.
Yeah.
And it's every time that Tommy's involved in a problem like that. And then, shock and horror, right after the commercial, the computer finds a solution. Like I said, Tommy, just wait a couple of seconds, will you? So in order to get out of the Invincible Flytrap, the people inside the Invincible Flytrap have to create heat. Now, spoiler alert, we will see this exact thing happen in Green No More. 2 episodes from now. Lazy writers. There are a whole lot, and I don't know whether you noticed this when you were watching it, Mike. There are a whole lot in this episode, at least, mainly for Jason and Tommy, of head movements that would usually have dialogue alongside them that have no dialogue. Like when they're in the beast's stomach, Jason's head is moving like he's talking, but no words are coming out. And it happened earlier with Zordon when Tommy was looking at his thing. And it happens later with Billy and Zach in the cave. And then Trini gets her blaster out and shoots the thing. And I don't know whether it was just like weird audio mixing from Netflix or whatever, but
maybe I didn't really notice that, but like I know with the meditation thing that had to be from original G-Ranger.
Yeah,
you know, so maybe that's just something from there where maybe like one ranger was talking and they just didn't sync that up to the right way from one to the other. But yeah, I wouldn't really know on that one.
Yeah,
I didn't really notice.
If you go back and watch the episode, it's very noticeable once you know it's there.
Yeah.
So they're meditating and they put their power coins together to make heat, right? And start punching the inside of the Invincible Fire Trap, but only Jason's hands are glowing for some reason. Who knows? When they get out of the monster and they strike their pose, man, Jason sure looks sounds a lot like Billy. It's Billy's voiceover. I made a note here. There's just something about the original Power Blaster that still just sort of, when they put everything together, and it's just, there's still something about that original thing that's just like, yeah, that I dig that, right?
Yeah.
Tommy has a martyr complex again. Because he tries to save the girl without, like, letting anyone else, like, I don't know, Billy the genius, try and figure out the problem. Zach and Billy have a silent conversation. They save the girl. Bulk and Skull get embarrassed back at the thing. And my only question from the last, like, 5 minutes of the show, right, is why was Tommy, the person they end up referring to the girl in front of by name, while morphed, the one to get Haley off the dais? This is a Trini-centric episode. It's her ties to Trini. Trini's the one that lives down the street from her. Trini's the one that makes this little girl so important. Why is Tommy the one getting her off the dais?
I don't know. Especially the fact that you had Trini be the one to shoot the field around her.
Yeah. It's yet more of that Tommy stampeding over other people's stories that just doesn't sit well with me. And that was the end of my notes for Venus Island.
All right. So with that, we're going to hop into the next one, which is the Song of Guitardo. And with everyone's favorite segment in my mind, it's that quick run through where we begin at the youth center as Kim is playing guitar and Zach is impressed. Kim asks Zach for help writing her song. Zed comes up with the idea for the Guitardo monster. But while at the park, the Rangers have a picnic. Bulk and Skull try to lure out the Rangers. Not going to lie, Skull is looking fantastic in the medieval dress. He actually holds it very well.
That accent can get on a bus.
Yeah. like looks fantastic. The voice, no, not so much. The Rangers show up and get dismissed by Bulk and Skull. Poor Bulk, because his helmet gets stuck on his head. Zordon sees the monster and asks the Rangers to come to the command center. While Zordon briefs the others, Tommy gets tested by Alpha. Tommy's powers are too weak and is advised not to fight, and does cheering from the sidelines. The others morph into action. The monster starts playing tunes and gets Zach, Jason, Trini, and Billy as they float up into the sky. Kim left all by herself. Tommy begs to get back in the battle and morphs into action. Good fight from Tommy, and the monster retreats. Tommy goes to the fair after the monster. The monster gets Tommy, but Tommy plays the dragon dagger to combat Guitardo's spell. The monster is able to make Tommy drop the dragon dagger, but Kim to the rescue as she plays the bow to beat Guitardo and destroy the guitar. Intuitive thinking by Tommy has Kim shoot the dragon dagger from her bow to defeat Guitardo. And then back at the youth center, the Rangers continue their picnic. Bulk and Skull show up, and Billy helps take off Bulk's helmet. And then Kim plays her song to cheer Tommy up. And that is the Song of Guitardo.
AKA PowerRangers.exe has entered the loop. Please reboot and redo from start. This episode feels like it was written by, like, an artificial intelligence. Of just taking bits from previous episodes and going, yeah, that works. This episode is awful. It is really bad. It is the absolute highlight of bad early Power Rangers. Starts with them in the youth center, as you said. the very first line, I think, is Zach saying, "Ooh, Kim, that sounded great." Nope. She was strumming one chord for like 10 seconds. Didn't sound good at all. It was just one chord. Okay. And then Kim is trying to get Zach to help her out writing the song, right? And she gives Zach this kind of like pouty face while saying, "Help me," that I am convinced a million teenagers would have loved to have seen her make in 1993, right? Like, and then Zach offers to give her the magic touch, and it's like, come on, man. Like, come on, my dude. Right? Like, there's a little cool little lore note right here where Zed talks about using Kimberly's guitar to make a monster. And Goldar has this really nice little lore note where it's like, but a guitar isn't alive, so you can't make it a monster. Right?
Right.
I'm not sure that lore holds up through the entire season. Because, like, I'm fairly sure the shell he uses in Green No More isn't inhabited, so it would be considered dead. But he makes it into a monster anyway.
He also makes a karate trophy into a
monster. Yeah, right. And, like, the hand trophy at some point. But it would have been a really nice little lore piece if that had borne out, right? I quite like that. Richie shows up, is invited to join their picnic, says he can't stay, he's got to go and help unpack. Then why did you stop and not just bike on your way home and just wave as you went past? You plonker. There's a really nice moment where, like, Tommy says something and everyone throws stuff at him. This is television shorthand for "look, we're friends," right? It happens a lot in group shows in the teens and stuff like that. Now for my favorite Bulk and Skull note ever. Bulk and Skull show up. They do a thing. Skip forward 2 minutes. I refuse to talk about stupid slapstick anymore.
Although I will say one thing though about this is that, you know, they actually succeeded in the one thing that they wanted to do, but they never realized that they actually succeeded in the one thing that they wanted to do, which was to lure out the Power Rangers. They got the Power Rangers and they completely dismissed them. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you succeeded. And then you failed.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a note here, which is why is it called a guitar dome monster when it's a cicada? I realize it's because it plays a guitar, apparently. Zordon once again knows everything about Zed's monsters. How? I keep bringing this up, but I feel it's very important. Apparently, the Rangers think that all it takes to resist mind control is thinking about something else. If that worked, mind control would be bad. More nonsense about Tommy's powers and bio scans. So the Rangers are all off to fight. And we get our very first real use of reused phrases by Zach and Jason, right? Leftover ADR or reused ADR from other episodes. And you'll note that Trini has zero morphed lines in this episode because this is the first episode that was really affected by the three of them not showing up to the ADR sessions because they'd started to have the falling out with
Saban.
With Saban. So just bear that in mind. there's when they first show up, like Gitaru does this song and he's like, "Ah, oh, I'm mind control," and they're like, "No, just shoot him there, just shoot it straight away, just show up, power blaster done, right? Job done.
Just execute the monster."
Yeah, just show up and kill it. So four of the five Rangers get mind controlled, right? Surprise, surprise. So Tommy morphs in, saying it's far too dangerous for Kimberly to face this thing alone. What's the very first thing he tells Kim? Stay here and let me deal with it.
Oh.
If it is too dangerous for her to fight alone, it is too dangerous for you to fight alone. Come on, my dude. Why is Gitardo's first instinct not to just charm Tommy? Why does he fight him? His first instinct was to charm everyone else. Also, why do you run away? There's only two of them. You beat five of them earlier. And again, Tommy runs off solo. It's just the martyr complex is back, right? Like, and then we get into this thing where Tommy's arm is so heavy that when he that would be my phone.
Apparently they don't want none.
Man. Tommy's arm is so heavy that when he lifts it, the pavement underneath him cracks and buckles. That's not how science works. If it was that heavy, it would be dragging him down to the pavement.
Good old original G-Ranger footage on that one.
And then Kim shows up. And apparently has modified her bow to be a harp. Which is awfully communicated. It's just got like some extra strings on it, right?
Yep.
And it just, she strums it once to play a musical chord and that's it, right? It's like, you could have made more of this. And then she's like, "Tommy, I figured out we have to fight it with music," and proceeds to try and roundhouse kick it. Those two things are not the same thing.
I'm not going to lie. When I think about wanting to fight something with music, I want to roundhouse kick everything I see. And then play a melody afterwards.
I don't understand the logic behind shooting the dragon dagger out of the power bow.
Yeah, I didn't figure that one out either, but maybe because it's like, we're going to shoot a musical instrument at you.
Maybe.
It does more damage.
Because the whole thing is you're supposed to fight with music. That is not that. That is hitting someone with a guitar. There's no music involved there, right? Like, and then we have them back in the youth center, and Kim and Tommy's like, "Oh, Kim, you did it. You saved us. But everything is about me. I'm Tommy. Look at me. Hello, I'm Tommy. I'm here dominating the story that's about somebody else." Amy Jo Johnson showing her very real life ability to play the guitar. and the episode's all about Tommy. It just, it again, it's just not sitting great with me. And then they have an indoor picnic at Ernie's because it's rainy. And all I was thinking was, how do they get to do that and use that much space in a youth center? Every youth center I've ever been in, space is at a premium, and they can just sprawl out a picnic on the floor. And then Kim sings a song, and Tommy's a pouty little nonce. And that's kind of like, I hate this episode. Like, it is bad.
Yeah. But one of the cool things I guess you could say about it is that you get to re-see the old that fair stage again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which you saw a couple times in season one. I think this ends up being the last time we actually ever see the stage, I believe.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. And then despite Skull's horrible accent, I kind of enjoyed what Skull did more than Bulk. And it was like, you know, like, and I said it earlier, it's like, they actually succeeded at it. Like, who else, you know, would have run after them, hearing them yelling for help and stuff like that?
Well, I mean, it's kind of the issue with Bulk and Skull's plan, because the teenagers that became the Power Rangers showed themselves to, yes, they would have run for help even before they were the Power Rangers. Like, that's why they were chosen to be the Power Rangers.
Yep.
So it kind of makes sense that the Bulk and Skull sort of
dismissed them,
because it makes sense that they show up, right? Like,
yeah. But they still succeeded.
Yeah.
So yeah, those were the two episodes for us today. And now next episode is The Green No More.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have everyone together.
Yeah, we take them powers from Tommy.
Again, I state that it's incredibly temporary for maybe three episodes. Because who needs consequences?
It's three episodes.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's like three episodes, and then you introduce new characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Power Rangers was on a bit of a hurry up and get there at this point. You know what I mean? Like.
Well, not like that, but they also reduced, like, the number of episodes at the same time. So, like, yeah. They went from 60 to, I believe, 52, so they cut out 8 episodes this time around, and then they cut out some more episodes going into season 3. So, they were definitely reducing episodes, which made them have to do more. Plus, they did a lot more multi-part episodes this season.
Yeah.
Like, I think I counted, like, there were 8 or 9 multi-part episodes.
Yeah, there's a lot of multi-part episodes.
Whereas you had maybe, like, 2 or 3 last season. So, it definitely has a major difference for the feel of the season.
Yeah.
So I definitely agree with the quick up and get to it type of thing. But I think also for this part, you know, as you mentioned, we're now dealing with the fallout of Trini, Jason, and Zach, they're actors on the way out.
The start of that, at least.
Yeah, well, like, we're now at the start of that. We're moving towards it. So.
The big issue again, the thing I point out is the problem is when they do tell a story, it's all Tommy, right? Yeah. That's the problem. And it's not even a good story with Tommy. It's just, we're going to take a story that could be a really cool highlight for another character and just pave it with the Green Ranger. So, like, with a few little editing changes to both of these stories, they could have been really interesting, right?
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest things is that, like, especially, like, we're in that Green No More arc right now, where I think they're just getting people ready to go, Tommy's leaving. And I think that's a big fallacy on the writers, because if they're the ones who are going, no, we want to put this focus on Tommy because we're about to, like, lose Tommy. Albeit, yeah, at the time, they weren't sure if they were going to stick with Jason David Frank. Let's be honest.
I actually don't believe that. There is no way that they could write Tommy out thinking that Jason David Frank is gone and then write him back in three episodes later. Yeah. There is no way.
I wonder how those meetings went. Because obviously, like, as you have mentioned, they brought in this character Richie, that should be that white herring, because we all thought that he was going to become, like, the new Ranger or something like that when Tommy left. But, like, obviously it didn't go that way.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder how those meetings went. You know, obviously they probably looked at focus groups and were like, here's Richie, here's Tommy, and, like, whatnot. And they probably based things off that. But I don't think we'll ever really know that, because I don't think anyone's ever really openly talked about that in interviews before.
Yeah.
So that would always be a great thing to understand and, like, be like, and here's the thing. I would never want to ask Jason David Frank that question. It would be something that, if you can find whoever the writers are, the producers are, those are the people that I'd rather ask that question to. Because, like, obviously Jason's like, well, I was the actor and, like, they wanted to keep me on.
Yeah.
Because of popularity. Yeah, that's the typical answer we probably get from a Jason David Frank. But if we talk to a writer,
I genuinely don't believe that they could have written a 7-episode arc writing Tommy out and then brought him back 3 episodes later, having thought he was gone, right?
Yeah.
Because that's not how serialized TV production works, right? You're writing several episodes at once. So, I don't know.
And like I said, that would be a great question for one of the writers or producers of the show and be like, hey, explain this to us.
Yeah.
Like, how did you decide to do this? What made you want to bring Richie in? What made you decide to make Tommy the White Ranger and all this other stuff? Like, what went on behind the scenes that made you decide to ended up going the route that you decided to go with? Because,
all right, let's wrap this up. We've been talking for a while, so.
Yep. So, Mr. Black Ranger doesn't have the same flow as Mr. Pink Ranger. But, Ben, where can the people find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at
Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find Voices from the Grid's sister show, Awesome Mania, where Mike and I discuss the goings-on in the worlds of professional wrestling, over at
txhthockey.com/awesomemania.
You can then find, hopefully restarting in the new year once I'm feeling a little bit better, my monthly columns that chronicle my journey through Power Rangers over at
txhthockey.com/bens-journey.
And for the first time, I can tell you what the next one's going to be. It's going to be Ninja Storm. Because I took a break after Wild Force. And it's, again, I'm looking forward to writing the Ninja Storm one. And then you can find me doing the video game thing over at
twitch.tv/321_TV.
Yep. And as always, I will encourage anyone to join us on Twitter. Check out the Voices from the Grid Twitter at
VFTG_PR. Yep.
That's me.
Yep. And then you can find me on the Twitters at TheLindenBaum75, Facebook at Facebook.com/X75Productions. Of course, everything's on the website at TXHTHockey.com. Rebrand is coming in July. We've decided to push it to July because of the hockey season. And then you can also find me on the Twitch doing the video games at Twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75. And of course, everything for the show here is at txhthockey.com/VFTG. So with that, Ben, take us out.
We said we are at the end of 2020 as we record this. Spoiler alert. And looking forward to 2021 with a renewed sense of optimism, question mark. That being said, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. Party on, non-gender-specific honorifics.
Until our next more phenomenal episode, may the power protect you.
Peace.